الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته، ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض، ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows our last day of this earthly life to be this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. This ayat of the Quran which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us two ingredients that is required for a person to get barakat. Barakati min as-samawati wal-ard. To get the barakat of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا. That if had those people of those towns, Allah ta'ala had sent Anbiya alayhimu salam to various towns. Allah Ta'ala is explaining that had those people of those towns, had they brought Iman, in other words, they were consciously aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I one day have to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I'm going to do, whether it's my financial dealings, whether it's my social dealings, whatever it is, whether it's those rights that I have to people or rights I have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one day I have to stand in front of Allah ta'ala and account for it. If they had that level of iman, that they were consciously aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wattaqoo, and they also simultaneously would that they had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they put a barrier between themselves and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That we would have given them, that we would have given them the barakat of the heavens and the earth. But these people haven't done it. They did not do it. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That these people disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They disbelieved. And Allah ta'ala says, we have seized them because of their actions. So there are two ingredients that have been spelled out here. One is iman and one is taqwa, that will draw barakat. And barakat is something that we all are looking for. Who is not looking for barakat? And barakat manifests itself in two different ways. Sometimes it is with regards, or more than two different ways also. Sometimes it is with regards to quantitative issues. From the quantitative angle, that what amount Allah Ta'ala has given, sometimes it manifests itself in this way. But it's not restricted to this. And very often we get carried away by thinking that if a person has got more investments, he's got more assets, he's got more income, then that person has got barakat. But barakat is not restricted to that. Sometimes it manifests itself in qualitative elements. In other words, what quality of life Allah Ta'ala has given this person. What he achieves in his life, he may have had a very short lifespan, but what legacy he left behind, it's a legacy, it's a something that he has achieved, that now we can say that there was barakat in this person's life. Otherwise you'll get a person who has achieved millions and towards the ending of his life, you see many people like this. There's a cry, there's a worry in them that what problems I'm going through. One person recently mentioned, he says that sometimes I see R1 million, I get an SMS that R1 million has been deposited into my account. He says because of the bitterness of the fighting and the family disputes that we have currently, it doesn't create any happiness in me at all. So the numbers may be there, but that depression, that sadness, that anxiety within a person, that now is a sign that this barakat has gone. So it's got nothing to do with the numbers, or not necessarily to do with the numbers, but it's that peace of mind, that ability that Allah Ta'ala gives a person, that contentment and that happiness that he's looking for, especially towards the ending of his life. Now when a person reaches, one person mentioned to me the other day, it was sad to hear this story, he says, I'm 80 years old. I've worked my whole life for my children. Sometimes I would work till 1 a.m., sometimes 2 a.m. in the morning. I reach a point where I've got all my children married, I've set them up, I've put them in my business. He says, today those same children are throttling. So this is not something uncommon, it's becoming more and more common. The ayat of the Quran which I'm going to recite just now and explain, that ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala is warning us, the things that take away the barakat. One is those things that bring about barakat, one is those things that deprive a person of barakat. In this ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala explained, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying with regards to the Jews. And now when we discuss as far as the Jews are concerned, very common for us to understand, or very easy for us to understand, is the Western bloc that we have today. A lot of the elements, a lot of the practices, a lot of the psychology that existed in the Jews before are found in the Western bloc today. And we can see it is totally transparent. It's becoming more and more apparent to us as the days go. Allah Ta'ala is explaining that what caused the Jews to be deprived. The first thing he mentions here, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا. It's that oppressive nature of this, that oppression of this that they caused. One is that military oppression that we are seeing today, that military aggression that we are seeing today. But Allah Ta'ala goes on to explain that they had another aggression also. They had another form of zulm which Allah Ta'ala goes on to explain. So first he mentions that this zulm, that this oppression that they did, and it manifested, it showed itself in various ways, not only militarily. Because now Allah Ta'ala explains, وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. What they would do is they would stop people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So oppressive this nation was. Tafsir ibn Kathir, it mentions that on one day they killed 40 Anbiya alayhim salam. We're hearing of bombs that are falling, 20 people dying, 30 people dying, 100 people dying. On one day they killed 40 Anbiya alayhim salam. 40 of the Nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then 170 pious people came to try and stop them. Then what are you all up to, killing the Nabis of Allah? What dangerous games are you all playing? They killed 170 people also on the same day. So this trait of killing, murdering and oppression was a trait that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about that caused deprivation, that caused that Yahud to be deprived of tayyibat. Those things that were originally permissible for them, Allah Ta'ala now made it impermissible for them. Ulama explained this tayyibat is all those things that bring about happiness, contentment, those good things of life that Allah had permitted, Allah now made it difficult for them because of sin. Therefore it is mentioned that أَعْظَمُ سَبَبِ الْحِرْمَانِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. The greatest cause for a person being deprived of things and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the greatest cause? It is ma'siyah, it is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah ta'ala goes on to explain another form of zulm that these people had, another form of oppression. Allah is expanding and explaining the oppression of the Jews. And this, unfortunately, this form of oppression which we're going to discuss now is a form of oppression that is also coming into the Muslim community and we don't realize it. وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they consumed riba, they consumed interest. وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. They not just consumed interest, وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is spelling it out that they were forbidden from this. It was something that was serious, that don't go into interest. It comes in a tafsir kitab that how they would do it is they would work schemes around, like what we find back office schemes. Back office schemes will work around what was forbidden and will try and make it permissible. Common examples that we know of is that fishing was made haram for them on a Saturday. So what they would do is they worked a back office scheme. Friday we put our nets in, Sunday we take it out, we'll catch that same fish on Saturday. But we never go to fish, so to speak, inverted commas, we never fish on Saturday, playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of that whole discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُونُوا تِرَدَةَ الْخَاسِئِينَ, that become monkeys, become apes, despised. This is a monkey trick you're playing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what Allah ta'ala means, but yet you go and do something else. Simple example for our understanding, the ustad is leaving the class. He's leaving a little early, he had some commitment, so he tells all the students that you all don't leave from here before 3 o'clock. None of you all must leave from here before this clock hits 3 o'clock. There's a clock here. None of you all must leave before this clock hits 3 o'clock. So the students are very clever, they work a scheme. We won't disobey our ustad, but what we'll do is we'll just turn the clock 1 hour fast. So when it's 2 o'clock, that clock hit 3 o'clock. Our ustad said when this clock hits 3 o'clock, then only we can leave. So they, but did they disobey the ustad or not? So this is what is known as back office schemes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, La'anallahu al-Yahud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon the Yahud. May Allah's anger be upon the Yahud. They were forbidden from what? They were forbidden from eating fat of maita. Now we know when an animal is not slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't eat anything from that animal. We can't eat the meat, we can't eat the fat, we can't eat anything. It hasn't been slaughtered in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were forbidden from eating this fat. So what they did was they did a back office scheme. They did a scheme, let us work around this. Let us see how we can still benefit. How can we lose financially? I mean, this is valuable money, this fat from these animals that have not been slaughtered in the name of Allah. So how can we lose it? So what they did was they said, we will melt it. We'll melt it, and the end product, the byproduct of this melted fat, now we will sell, now we will use it, now we will get benefit. We don't want to get any financial loss. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that these schemes that they were involved in, he said, La'anallahu al-Yahud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse be upon the Yahud. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا وَقَدْنُهُ عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. They would eat people's money unlawfully. Unlawfully. Ulama explained that riba already is eating person's money unlawfully. One person is not entitled to taking more from the other person, but he has taken more from the other person in a form of money upon money. He's taken riba from that person. He was not entitled to that. He's already eating unlawfully. Why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning riba separately from this part, which already encompasses it? Ulama explained to emphasize the harms of riba. It's not a small thing. This is actually the financial machine of the Yahud. This is the military oppressive machine of the Yahud. How we can get the masses, how we can get the public bounded to us. We got the financial institutions. The banks are under us. How we can get nearly every second person bonded for life almost, so that he needs to repay the bank. And then we need to get him more bonded, that every second person now needs to take out a medical aid. We got to keep the costs high. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi explains that why this riba is something that is disliked. He says it's such an oppressive regime that it only makes the rich richer and it makes the poor poorer. He describes it as almost something that is leeching, something like a parasite that is sucking blood out of a person. He says this is what is this riba system all about. So they, how they do it is we get people bonded to it. Another way now is we to make the rich richer, make the poor poorer, is we increase the cost of medical expenses. We know those that can afford to invest in medical hospitals, invest in other medical institutions, the returns are very high. Why? Because the charges also are very high. So make the medical cost very high and make the average person indebted to medical aid to such an extent that if a man doesn't have medical aid, he's seen to be something that, it's seen to be something that is wrong. If a person hasn't taken out insurance, it seems to be something that is wrong. So we get, this is the plot of the Yahud, is to get everyone indebted into a system that we are controlling. So that system now is going on and on. And if a person doesn't have it, as I explained, wo ulti ganga chal rahi hai. You say, as though the Ganges River is now flowing upstream. What you mean you don't have medical aid, you don't have insurance? What you mean that you don't want to borrow money from the bank? This is the way it is made to seem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. We have prepared a very, very painful punishment for them. So some of the schemes and some of the things that they do, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us that you will end up following, O Ummat, you will end up following these people to such an extent. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ. That you will follow the Yahud and the Nasara. You will follow them so closely like a hand span or like a arm's length, length by length. To understand, when a person is playing football, one man is marking another man. If the person goes to the right, he goes to the right. If he goes to the left, he goes to the left. Following him so closely, I won't leave him. I'm supposed to be marking this man. You will be marking the Yahud and Nasara so closely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to such an extent that hatta law salaku juhra dabbin lasalaktumuhu. That if they have to go into a lizard's hole, something that is dirty, something that is smelly, something that is dangerous, you will also end up jumping into a lizard's hole. Look at it today, if you look at it practically, just look at our weddings. Just take an example of weddings. Where did this culture come that when the bride and the bridegroom come to the hall, there must be hooting that is taking place so loudly that all the neighbors and everyone gets disturbed? Is it our culture or is it the culture of the Yahud and Nasara? And then now when the girl has to come into the hall, she must be walked in down the aisle with the bridegroom. Is that our culture? And now we can't on music because now we are saying this is not permissible. So at that time now the anashid and all start blasting. Is that part of our culture or is that not part of our culture? A person, for example, if I've got a practice and I got a waiting area, I got a reception room there. In the old days, because others and other practices would keep magazines, we kept all type of magazines. We didn't care. It must be something to entertain the person. It must have pictures of ladies. It must be female magazine, men's magazine, whatever it is, but it must be there. Now that the West have now progressed, and every waiting room, every reception area has got a flat screen television. So that same business that I'm entering into, that same business that I'm conducting to get barakat, I'm destroying that barakat by putting the television screen in that waiting room. So one side I'm making dua for barakat, and in my reception area I've already got something that is taking away the barakat. Whose culture is that? Is that our culture or is that their culture? Let's take another example. A person has got a quick shop, for example. A person has got a pharmacy. Now we know in a quick shop in a pharmacy, very often you'll find that behind the counter there are certain boxes. People know what boxes I'm talking about. With semi-naked woman displayed on those boxes. Which culture teaches us we need to display behind us or at the cashier, at the place where money is being exchanged, more pictures of semi-naked woman? A person has got he's an optometrist and he's got his practice. Now the culture of the West is to have big pictures of females with open hair, with leather jackets, with the sunglasses on, the Ray-Ban glasses and the police glasses and other glasses. If I don't have this in my practice, then I'm not keeping up with the West. I'm not keeping up with the time. Where did that practice come from? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned us that you're going to end up following them, not even thinking what you're doing. Is this Islam or is this something else? And you'll also follow them as far as finance is concerned. Now this is the thing that this ayat is warning. And the reason why I'm mentioning, brothers, in this last 10 days, without exaggeration, I must have been consulted on over 10 family Muslim disputes. Brothers fighting with brothers, parents with children, sometimes it's partners that are friends. And every one of them, if you're going to do a so-called, in a manner of speech, a blood test to see what is a common thread between all these disputes that are happening, it's because of riba. Riba somewhere set. And riba takes many different forms. One form is one person will come in and he'll say that I want to invest so much with you, you've got a business, or there's a deal on coming into this deal, 20% is yours. The fact that he's guaranteeing the person 20%, that's already riba. There's no way you can guarantee. We don't know what's going to be made on the deal. We can't guarantee that 20% on your capital is what you're going to get back. That already, so many people don't know that. Person has got a loan account in his business, and there's multiple shareholders in that company, for example. One is putting an entry through for accounting purposes, for taxation purposes, interest on loan account. That we may argue is acceptable because now it reduces the profits because of you creating a tax expense, you're creating an interest expense. But what happens when that person wants out, when the person passes away? The executor of his estate now claims that full loan account with the interest. Man wants out, he's claiming that full loan account with that interest. Now what happened is that now still an entry that was put for tax purposes, or person is laying claim to that. This is also riba. So there are different forms of riba that are taking place. And the one common form that is taking place very, very fast is the banks now, most of them have opened up Sharia divisions. As I mentioned before in one of my talks, here is that 20 years ago we didn't hear about this. That suddenly those same institutions of that Mufti Shafi Sahib referred to as parasites. Remember, these banks, brothers, they are commercial entities. They don't have Islam at heart. Islam is not something that they have at heart. When they open up a division, it's only because it's enhancing their business. It's not enhancing the spirit of Islam. There's no spirit of Islam there. Tomorrow, if that Islamic division makes losses, that Islamic division will be closed. Don't be fooled by the marketing aggressive tactics of these banks. Why have they moved from an Islamic bank to Islamic banking? 90% of the people sitting here, 90% of the people don't know the difference between Islamic bank and adding a small ing after bank. What is the difference? We're trying to tell you, if you see ing, this is not an Islamic bank. We're only using the same words with three letters added so that you may get deceived thinking that this is an Islamic bank. Go to the website, you'll see minarets, you'll see arches of masjid, you'll see people wearing scarves, you'll see clothes, you'll see people wearing thobe. They have commercialized Islam to try and create an acceptability in this industry. I'll give you one example. ABC Pty Limited is a company. So let's say ABC Piggery Pty Limited. ABC Piggery Pty Limited. If they have to come and say we want to sponsor a dinner for a Muslim organization, which Muslim organization will accept it? They say, no, but we got one division here, Wooden ABC Piggery Limited. The division there is selling attars and is selling kurtas. Will we still accept them as a sponsor? Now we look to see these banks that within that same entity, it's not a different entity, they've opened up one division called an Islamic division. Now they come and they sponsor our Muslim organizations. They're sponsoring school. They're sponsoring Muslim soccer tournaments to such an extent that I'm told that even if you go to pedal courts now, you'll see the Islamic banking. Absa Islamic banking, this Islamic banking. And you'll see they would Arabic writing on it. Brothers, we are living in South Africa. Every one of us speaks English. All our business names are English. What is the need to put Arabic writing? The reason you put Arabic writing is to get the person to believe that what you're doing is Islamic. Whereas there's nothing Islamic in there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us. The ayat of the Quran, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi says that I haven't come across any warning more severe than this warning. I haven't come across after scanning Quran and Hadith that فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You engage in riba, you go and you involve yourself and take benefit from these riba organizations that take a lesson or take a warning of war with Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the end, by brothers, there isn't much time. I'm going to finish off on this. The style of a Muslim is he should have nafrat for those things that Allah Ta'ala has cursed. Things that have deprived the Yahud and Nasara, although they're aggressively being marketed now in our country, we shouldn't fall for it. It's still one and the same industry. It's still one and the same entity. If you want to do, just do yourself a small inspection. Then go and download an income statement. Any one of you, take a try. Income statement of FNB, EBSA, Standard Bank. Look at what is the highest income line item in the income statement. The biggest income line item, you don't have to look far, look at the first line item. Income generated from interest and interest related activities is the highest line in item. And that item, that income is paying for that office chair that the Islamic division person is sitting in. He's paying for that air conditioning that is there. He's paying for the physical structure. He's paying for that lights and water. It's paying for that pen that he's using. It's paying for the computer that he's using. It's paying for his salary. And yet we think that we are investing here, we're not taking any interest benefit. Are we fooling ourselves? This is not an Islamic bank. The reason why I'm speaking about is the amount of aggressive marketing that is coming. And this is finishing us up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned us. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I'll terminate on this. That dirhamu riban ya'kuluhu rajulu wa huwa ya'lamu ashaddu min sittati wa thalasina zanyatan. O kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. A person takes one lousy silver coin of riba. It is worse for him, whilst he knows that this is riba, it is worse for him than committing zina 36 times. So now how can we be content that we are going to go this route and we are not going to be deprived of the mercy, the barakat, the help and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give me first the tawfiq of making amal. Allah give us all the tawfiq. And let us be careful. The structures of Yahud, the style of the Yahud, one is the physical military aggression that we're seeing. And one is the aggression financially, which they've got in place. They're only inviting us and they're only calling us to jump in and to join in and to see the prophets on our screen with back offers stratagems to show it as profit. But in essence, in effect, it's the same riba organizations that we are enhancing and we are promoting. Let us be careful. There was a time and age where people would ask the question that a man working in a bank, can I accept a gift from him? A man working in a bank, can I go to his house to eat? Now you'll find banks are being corporate sponsors of Islamic organizations. They're sponsoring dinners and they're sponsoring occasions. Where have we gone? We have slipped so far that we're accepting these people. If there was an Israeli flag posted outside, if there was an Israeli flag posted there saying corporate sponsor, nobody will be offended to see an Israeli flag. Why? Because they're at war with who? With the Palestinians. But that institute that is at war with Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see their logo in our organizations, we see the logos at schools, we see the logo at sports stadiums, we don't feel offended by it. Yeah, we are offended by the Israeli flag because they are at war with Palestinians. What about those that are at war with Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's something for us to think. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. I apologize for taking a few minutes extra. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.